recording. Okay, happy day, everybody. Today is February 11th, 2021, and this is the monthly meeting for the Guam Cancer Trust Fund Council. And it is 3:07 p.m. And we are recording the session, and we have present council members that are present are myself, Rachel Leonguero, Kathy Castro, Yvette Paulino, and Dr. Awadi. And then we have program manager, Ramalyn Yamanaka. And we have two guests. We have Ellie, and I'm sorry, Ellie, for Ongrung, did I pronounce that correct? Okay, yay! And Clara Camacho. Since we have some new, since we have a new member, can we ask Dr. Awadi, can you just do a quick introduction, and then the rest of us will do a quick introduction also of the members. Dr. Awadi, you're on mute.
Sorry, can I try, you know, to start the video? I somehow, you know, it blocked me. It doesn't let me to use. May not have since privacy. But my name is Faraz Ohani. I'm one of the physicians here in Guam since 2001. I'm specialized in internal medicine and geriatrics, mostly focused on geriatrics. Working right now with Evergreen Clinic in Mighty. Been there for 2.5 years before I used to work with half a day specialist group with Dr. Romani. And before that, when I came to Guam, I started working with Dr. Safwa in 2001, Pacific Medical Group. And then when the move to Village, I went to Dr. Romani's trying to stay close to the hospital.
Okay, great.
That's all.
All right, great. Well, thank you. We're so happy to have you as a member of the council, and we really appreciate your service.
Thank you. It's my honor to be in that council.
Okay, great. I'll let the other members introduce themselves really quick. Yvette, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hot day and welcome, Dr. Hadi. We're glad to have you on board. It's nice to have a physician here with us. I'm with the School of Health, specifically with the Health Sciences Program, and I've been with the council for a while now. Mm. Okay, thank you, Kathy.
Yes, Kathy.
Before I go on, Remelin, Pete is asking for the link to the meeting. Please send it to him. Okay, my turn, right? Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Rivera Castro. I'm a community advocate and I've been a member of this council for a bit already. Not as long as Yvette, but been here a while. I'm happy to serve on this council and continue to advocate for our cancer community. I was the former chairperson of the Guam Cancer Coalition. No longer the chairperson, but still a member, and happy to continue to serve.
Yes, Kathy, we're so glad you're with us for another year.
Tried to get out, but it didn't quite work. But, you know, it's okay. I'm happy to be here.
Back in. We're going to keep pulling you back in. All right. My name is Rachel Leon Guerrero, and I'm the chair, the de facto chair. I'm the vice provost of research and sponsor programs here at the University of Guam, and I'm a nutritionist by trade. And so I'm also the lead PI of the U54 cancer grant that we have. It's a partnership grant we have with University of Hawaii Cancer Center. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's great to see everybody, and we'll go ahead and get started. If that's okay. So usually we start out with, I usually give a report from the chair, but I decided today I'd like to give Ramelin, the program manager, allow her to give her report because we got to understand what's happening with her report before we talk about my report. So I'm going to share a screen. Let me see. Yeah. Okay. Can everybody see? Can everybody see?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can see your desktop, but the agenda is no longer.
Okay, let me stop share and share it again. It's weird. Okay. Okay, how about now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Okay, Ramelin.
Okay. Well, hi, Dr. Wadi. I'm Ramelin. You're going to see a lot of emails from me. And don't mind. Yes, I'll be emailing you a lot, doing a lot of reminders. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
And just excuse my voice.
Ram, well, maybe. You might.
As of February 8, 2021. We did access. Wait.
Maybe, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, better. Sure.
Okay, I guess. Okay. So for our FY 2020 contracts, we awarded American Cancer Society, Azuda Foundation, Edward M. Calvo, Guam Cancer Care Direct Services, and their education and outreach. So as you can see, the blue graph that indicates the award amount that we gave them, the red is how much was spent, and then the green is the remaining balance. So as of today, American Cancer Society balance has $232,330. And in Azuda, as you can see over here, it's still the same. It's $671,480. It's because they did a no-cost extension. And then Edward M. Calvo, their balance as of today, as of February 8, is $367,657. And then for Guam Cancer Care, for direct services, their balance is $666,645. And then for their education and outreach, they haven't spent any of their monies yet. And then, so that's about it for the FY 2020 contracts. And then for, I am still receiving invoices. So for American Cancer Society and Edward M. Calvo, I still have invoices that needs to be processed. So the amount will change. And I can give you the final balances once all the invoices are being processed. And then for FY 2019, we have Catholic Social Services that requested for a no-cost extension, which was approved, and they have until March 31st to spend all their money for FY 2019. But as you can see, on their balance for FY 19, they still have $191,000 that hasn't been spent. But I did email their director, Diane Calvo. I notified them that the unspent funds will revert back to the general account for GCTF distribution for FY 2021 or 2022. And then when we had our previous meetings, we reviewed and approved applications. So we approved two, which was the American Cancer Society and the Edward M. Calvo, because both their contracts were due, I mean, both their contracts ended already on January 31st of 2021. So right now their contracts are being routed for signatures. And then for CSS, even though they were award, I mean, we approved their application. We cannot give them a new contract until April 1st.
Yeah. Great. Thank you, Ram. Okay.
You're welcome.
So as you can see, I think we're going to have we're going to have leftover money from American Cancer Society and EM Calvo because they didn't spend all of their award and they didn't put in a no cost extension. So whatever they have not spent, it'll, you know, because this is on a reimbursement basis, basically it's just, you know, they don't get to spend the remaining balance. So
Dr. Rachel, can you remind me again when the expiration of the no-cost extension for AJUDA is?
For which one?
AJUDA Foundation.
It is December 31st, 2020.
Okay. 2021, right?
Okay. Yes, this calendar year.
Okay, thank you.
So my report kind of is a piggyback. So the financial report that was posted as of January 31st, total cash that we have on hand is $2,837,666. But of that, $2,230,927 is allocated. So that means that it's either committed to, you know, the FY19 or the FY20 or even FY21 now contracts. And then the unallocated, unspent is we have $606,740. However, if you'll see here, since American Cancer Society and EM Calvo did not fully expend their FY2020 awards, whatever their unexpected balance is after you know all the invoices come in, it will be converted to the unallocated vice allocated, and this will then be available for distribution for FY2022 or you know, so unallocated, it's going to go up because you know people just weren't able to spend, and you know it was because of COVID, everything was just kind of shut down for a long time. Having said that, and just as a reminder, the new applications that were approved were for Catholic Social Services for $313,409. But this, again, we can't give it to them until April 1st, until their current contract is over. And in all honesty, I don't know if they'll be able to spend that whole $313,000 by the end of October. And then American Cancer Society, their contract, their award was $127,000 and EM Calvo's was $345,000. So
Rachel, I have a question. First, I want to apologize. I know I'm late. I got a text from Kathy that you didn't have a quorum. I actually thought that our meeting was the one that I participated in yesterday. But I have a question of something you just raised. And again, this is my first meeting. So after a few, I'm sure I'll catch up. But on the AJUDA and the EM Calvo, what is the amount that they have that's not expended?
Let me go back up here. So the amount for AJUDA, they were awarded $671,480. They have not submitted any invoices yet. However, they have told us that, you know, they're getting customers or clients. So we're expecting an invoice soon, but currently it's unexpended. They haven't dropped.
Pete, just to clarify their purpose, we funded them to be able to allow them to assist cancer patients going off island with the airfare. And because of the fact that COVID happened, our cancer patients were not traveling. So they could not utilize the funds. That's one of the main reasons why they asked for the no cost extension. Because it wasn't until just recently that our cancer patients were able to travel off island.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the E.M. Calvo Foundation, they were awarded $795,000. They've been able to spend so far up until January 31st, they were able to spend $427,342. But they have an unspent balance of $367,000. So we did give them another contract or award for FY 2021, and that was in the amount of $345,000.
So basically, for example, in the Calvo Foundation, the $367,000 unspent, they then lose it?
Yes. Yeah, they lose it.
Okay.
Yeah, we are on a reimbursement basis only. So unless they submit invoices, we don't distribute money. So
Remelin did indicate that there are some invoices that have been submitted. So this amount's going to go down, correct, Remelin?
Yes, that's correct. So Mr. Scrow, there are still some invoices that I'm processing. So that amount will go down. That amount of 367 was just as of February 8th.
Yeah. Okay.
I imagine that because when they submit invoices, a lot of times it's like for 30 grand, 50 grand at a time. So it might actually, their balance might actually go down to more like 300,000. But, you know, I'm not really sure until we get the invoices.
Okay. And the EC Cabo Foundation, from what I know of them, I thought that they limited to their applicants $500. Do they actually do more than that?
I believe so.
A thousand per applicant.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Okay, so the new applications that were approved so far were for Catholic Social Services for 313,000, American Cancer Society, and E.M. Calvo. Under old business, I'm hoping that we can finalize our decision on the last two applicants for the FY 2021 applications. And so that's that. One more thing to report is we're going to be updating our webpage for the Guam Cancer Trust Fund, because what we really want to put on there, the minutes, the meeting, and then also have links to the different organizations that are getting funding from the Guam Cancer Trust Fund, so that if people, you know, and we just, everything kind of got messed up with COVID, but we actually have, we got a web designer who's going to help us actually make that happen now. So we've got the purchase order, and we've got the individual and her business license and everything. So Rem is working with that person to get started on that, so that I'm hoping within the next 2 or 3 months that will be done. And, you know, we will have a much better informational webpage for people to go and get information about the trust fund. And just as a FYI, some of you may not know, but the committee assignments just came out. So we're very concerned about the committee on health, land, justice, and culture, because that's who we, you know, answer to. So we have Senator Terlahi will remain as the chair, and the other members of the committee, it will be Senator Perez, Senator Nelson, Senator Taitigui, Senator Barnes, Senator Brown, Senator Duenas, Senator Shelton, and Senator Pito Terlahi. So I was talking to Remelin today about this, and we're going to be making sure that we personally send them personally, not just put an ad, but when we advertise the meeting, send them personal invitations and invite them to come, and also send them minutes afterwards so that they can just kind of keep abreast of what's happening in the trust fund council meetings.
How much do they currently owe the trust fund?
They've been really good about, you know, we only got $1 million allotment for FY 2021, but they have, they're up to date. They're giving us $81,000 per month. And so far they've, as of January 31st, they are up to date. And the other thing I forgot to put in here is for FY 2022, the governor's budget came out and she's proposing to give the trust fund another $1 million as a for our budget. So it'll still be tight, you know, but I think with the 600,000 unspent plus, we'll probably have another, hopefully another 400,000 or 500,000 of lapse funding from, you know, unspent from awards. We might have $1.8 million that we can award for FY 2022. So, you know, fingers crossed with that. Any other questions?
Rachel, just to, although we sent them the information for the purpose of the new council members, can you explain to them what the law automatically says we're supposed to be getting as opposed to what we are getting?
Yeah, so according to the law, we are supposed to be getting 15% of the Healthy Futures Fund that comes in from the tobacco tax. And on average, it's about the every year, the Healthy Futures Fund generates about 40 million. So, you know, 15% of that, it's about $6 million. So we should be getting around $6 million a year, but we've actually only been getting, I think 2020 and 21, we only got $1 million. And in 2019, we got $0. So we had kind of a balance. We were carrying about $3 million, but as of now, we've basically spent out the money. So we're really down to, you know, kind of the bare bones. We're happy. I mean, honestly, I'm kind of happy that we're at least getting $1 million in FY 2022, because I was a little worried that they would say zero, just because of the pandemic and the economic situation. So I'm hoping that we at least get $1 million. It would be great if we can get more, but I'm not very optimistic about that.
Again, being new to this, is there a reason we're not asking for the whole amount?
We do ask. We lobby with the senators and we say how important it is. But we do ask. And we remind them that, you know, we're really supposed to be getting the 5%, but we haven't been getting it.
And just for point of notification, we've had issues with several senators not in agreement with how we were spending the money. And so they opted not to give us more than the $1 million. And, you know, we've tried to justify the fact that the funds do go to the cancer patients, and it's an issue of trying to get those specific senators to understand. And then the challenge has been is that every 2 years they change. So, you know, it's once again going back to lobby with each one of them. The most we ever got since the enactment of the law that created the Guam Cancer Trust Fund was about 6 million, was it? I think. But we've never received the full 15% at any given year, fiscal year.
Yep.
And we've been in existence for a while.
Yeah.
And yeah. And what would 15% generally come out to be?
About 6 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's the projected revenue of the health, tobacco tax, annual projected revenue in their fiscal year budget? And so they take the 15% from there and supposedly hand it to us. But what they do is they only take $1 million out of that and give it to us.
Okay.
Okay, all right. All right, so moving on to old business. So just to let you know, we had applicants for FY 2021, and as I mentioned above up here, we approved Catholic Social Services, American Cancer Society, and EM Calvo. Those applications were approved. The two that are pending down here is for Santa Teresita and the UOG Global Learning and Engagement. And both are education and outreach applications, and both have to do with, they're both doing physical activity as a cancer prevention education and outreach for local residents. And I think for both, kind of the issues that we had were having to do with, you know, doing this kind of a program in a COVID environment. But both applicants have submitted documents to explain it and provide clarification. So Rem, do you wanna just comment on this really quick?
Sure. For Santa Teresita Church and Global Learning and Engagement, they're both they want to implement the Spark activity. So with our last meeting, we had some comments from several of the council members indicating about the COVID protocol on how to, I guess, for the safety precautions for face-to-face. Since now we're, you know, on face-to-face. So I had to write a letter to the applicants to indicate what their protocol will be. So they submitted the letters already. And I don't know if you got my email, but I emailed all the council members about it. And for Santa Teresita Church, I guess for them, they have their guidelines, and they did say that all adults will be taking the test. Kathy, am I correct that the Veritas test?
Archdiocese has a requirement that anyone that is going to be working together with any minors must be certified in the Veritas program, which is a safe environment program. And that's a requirement, not just by the Archdiocese, but under the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops. So to my understanding, they have clarified that they will all be certified. And that was really just the major objection that the Archdiocese had for them to move forward. And since they clarified that they're going to do that, there was no more objection.
Oh, okay, yes. So Kevin Delgado from Santa Teresita Church, he indicated on his letter that he'll give a list of names that are, I guess, that was that passed, and that there'll be the ones that will handle the program, the Spark program.
So just to clarify, Kathy, are you saying that with that fulfillment from STC, the Archdiocese will give them the approval?
Yes, I did verify that with the Chancery Office, and I actually showed them the application, And they went through it, and they're only concerned because now that their protocols for face-to-face and contact with the individuals and all their mitigation protocols for social distancing has met the Archdiocesan Task Force approval. And the only concern they had really was that certification for the safe environment, which they have responded to. And so they've given them the go-ahead to proceed.
Okay, got it. Ren, did they give you a timeline for that?
No, not yet. I can request that from Kevin, but he just indicated on the memo that all the adults will be, he'll give us a list of the approved names that will be certified, that are certified to teach.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry, I was looking for my unmute button, panicking there. Okay, so do we, is there a motion to approve the Santa Teresita application?
I can make a motion to approve pending the completion of the request by the Archdiocese. And to add to that, the list, not just the list of people who are certified, but the list of anybody who will also be interacting with the children, specifically with the SPARK training that's funded by the trust fund.
I'll second that.
Okay. So do we need any more discussion about that? Okay, no? Okay, well, all in favor of the motion, say aye or give a thumbs up. Aye. All right. Okay, good. Yay. Motion carried. So they are approved pending the documents from the Archdiocese and the listing of the listing. Okay, great. Let's move on to the application for UOG Global Learning and Engagement. I'll go ahead and pass the baton back to Remelin. Do you want to go ahead and update on this? And we have Claire Camacho here too, so she can answer any questions.
Dr. Rachel.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but my internet is cutting off.
Okay.
Maybe Claire can explain her program for the purpose of the new members.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's
yes. Fine. Okay, so SPARK is an evidence-based physical activity program, and we've done it in the elementary schools, and now we want to continue to the middle schools. And this is training, which will be virtually, and then the PE teachers will PE/health teachers will get the equipment, and they haven't had equipment in so long, and the training and the curriculum to implement this. So they'll have everything they need to implement the SPARK program in the middle schools. And so there hasn't been anything done with the middle schools for a long time. We focused on the elementary first, and the elementary schools are all covered thanks to the support of Guam Cancer Trust Fund. They're using it out there. I've seen it several times. And so every time I go out, and so now we just want to put in the middle school. We did clarify that the schools have to practice the safe distancing, all the guidelines, and even UOG. Anytime we meet, we have to submit a plan to public health. And so all of that stuff, we're ready to do, because UOG Glee also does the testing for DMV. They do a lot of stuff that's still happening now. So they have guidelines. They have things in place if anything was to happen. So I think all the concerns have been addressed, unless there's more concerns. But I think the concern was mainly about the guidelines and safety with COVID. But we're ready for all that.
So are there any questions or concerns from the members?
I can recall, and thank you, Claire, for being here to explain that. I think our, if I recall correctly, our main concern was really the ability to spend the funds given the current capacity for face-to-face in the public schools. And so do you have, can you comment on that?
So the funds, the first chunk is for training. So the teachers will come to the field house to be trained. You know, it'll be virtual because this, I'm not, only a Spark trainer can do the training. So that'll all be virtual. It's actually cheaper now because we don't have to pay airfare. And then the next step for spending is to get them all the equipment and all the curriculum. So the spending of the money will happen, you know. The PE teachers are excited. You know, I've talked to them and they are already trying to ways to modify it because they have virtual and face-to-face. So even the virtual, like, you know, you have cones. Well, you know, they're saying use water bottles, right? So, you know, to mark off your places. So they've already started doing a lot of that type of modifications for their virtual. And even face-to-face, like they can't throw the ball. They already know they can't throw balls between students anymore. So they throw it against the wall and they catch it, you know, when they're trying to, they've already have plans in place and ways to do that. And actually the training from Spark will show them even other ways that they can safely implement the program, the curriculum, given all these new guidelines that they have to follow.
I'm actually very excited to see how they're going to do that because I'm sure that they have modified it due to the restrictions of the pandemic. So
yeah.
I'm really excited to see how they're going to do that.
So UOG had a camp, a venture camp, and they actually right. did it last June. And so
right.
I went in a couple of times to look, and it was interesting because the kids were having fun with each other, but nobody was really throwing balls at each other or, you know, but they were still doing things. So, you know, it was interesting.
The good thing about it is it teaches them how to do something virtually at home, hopefully that they can continue to do it even if they're not in the program.
Yeah.
You know, so physical exercise.
Yeah. And that's what we need more of, guys. I mean, you know, with all the electronics and everybody sitting down, including us all day long, I think it's even more so. And this is all preventative. It's, you know, we have the highest diabetes, everything, all of this that's, and so start them early, loving physical activity.
So Dr. Rachel, if we have no further questions
or comments.
I just wanted to ask Rem, I'm sorry, I didn't see if there was an updated letter from I guess it would be Carlos in this case. Was there mention of using the modified Sparks curriculum that addresses the COVID-19 situation?
She may not be able to hear. She's having trouble, sorry.
Oh, okay. Claire, do you recall if you guys had mentioned that in your response to Remlin, just so that it's documented that you do have a modified Sparks curriculum?
Well, I think it was strategies were modified, not the curriculum. You know what I mean? The strategies for, but I'm going to look it up now. Sorry.
Okay. So I think as long as that's in there, documented in there, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, health checks for employees and virtual distance. Yes, we will train teachers on how to modify activities in light of COVID guidelines for face-to-face and virtual learning too. So that's in the the letter.
Okay. Well, if I don't have any more issues, can I hear a motion to approve the application?
I move to approve the application from Global. What is it?
Learning and Engagement.
Yeah, Learning and Engagement.
There you go. Forgot what the name was.
Yeah, I knew it was Global something. Application for their Sparks program.
Okay, any second?
Second.
Mr. Scro, okay, all in favor, say aye or give a thumbs up.
Aye.
Aye, okay, great.
Aye.
All right, yay, we approved it.
Thank you, everybody.
Congratulations, Claire. Keep us posted. Exactly. Like I said, I'm really interested to see how this is going to go.
Yeah, we will.
Thank you. Thank
you, Claire. Rachel, just a comment. I think it's very helpful to have members from the organizations, the applicants, here when we are discussing, because it kind of helps with the process when we have questions. So
I agree. Yeah, I agree. We'll do that next time. So you know what, if you don't mind, I know we have one more item for old business, which is the revised rules and regs, but if we could skip down to new business, we only have one item for new business, because I think this will be a quick action. And then I think the rules and regs will take longer to discuss. So I just want to get this really quick. Under new business, if there is a request for no cost extension from Guam Cancer Care for their FY 2020 award, because their contract ends on February 23rd. But as you can see from up here, they haven't spent. So they obviously need a lot more time to spend out their money. They actually asked for 6 months, no cost extension. And Ellie's here. Ellie, do you want to say a few words?
Hi. Yes, we would definitely and are begging for a request for no cost extension. You know, in light of the current pandemic, we actually, when the pandemic started, we furloughed our education and outreach programs. They didn't actually come back until July, August of last year. Although our direct services team was here, we never closed for direct services purposes. You know, we still had patients that refused to go to the clinics, of course, because of the pandemic. We are in the process of obtaining all their chemotherapy treatments, radiation treatments, pharmaceutical expenses. So I will be inundating Remelin with our invoices shortly. But yes, if we can go ahead and request an approval for the no cost extension.
So the other thing that I wanted to ask is, you only asked for 6 months. Is that enough time, or do you want to go ahead and until maybe the end of October, because that's when everybody else's contract is ending? Or do you want to stick with August? I mean, I give you that option if you want to do August or the end of October.
Ellie, can I ask if the reason why you said August 31st was because we normally send out the grant renewals on September 1st.
Yes.
I mean, that's why. And so since you didn't apply this grant cycle, but you're looking at being able to apply next grant cycle after you've expended these funds. Is that correct?
Correct. That's one of our reasonings. Obviously this grant cycle kind of threw us for a loop. the dates kind of threw us off. So we figured if we asked for August, it would be in time for the next grant cycle, and then we'll be back in line with the GovGuam fiscal year.
So actually the end of September is the end of the fiscal year. So maybe if you want to do that.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it looked funny asking for seven months, as opposed to a 6 month.
I would agree to give them until the end of the fiscal year. Because even if they apply on September 1st, it's for the next fiscal year. It's not going to be for that month.
And I can revise our request and have that reflect 7 months to end on September 30th.
Yeah, let's do that. I think that would be better.
And then we can approve it when the revised request comes back.
Yeah, we need to approve it before the 23rd. So
We can, maybe we can approve it, subject.
Can I have a question before we motion to approve? Are you asking for extension for both applications, your direct services as well as your outreach?
Yes.
Okay, so I think that it would need to be two different motions.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, so can we have a motion for the first, for the direct services to extend? Give them a no cost extension to the end of fiscal year, September 30.
So I can make a motion to approve the no-cost extension request for direct services from Guam Cancer Care until the end of the fiscal year.
All right, any concerns before, a second?
Second.
Okay, thanks, Peter. So second by Peter. Any other discussion before we move to approve? All right, all in favor say aye, thumbs up. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so that one is approved. So let's go to the next one, which is education outreach application or award contract. Have a motion to approve that no cost extension.
I move to approve their education and outreach grant application at a no cost extension until the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30 of 2021 for Guam Cancer Care.
Great. A second?
I second.
All in favor, say aye or raise those.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. That is approved. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay.
Good luck, Ellie.
Yeah. Good luck, Ellie. Yes. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's go back up to the old business, the revised rules and regs. And we only have a few more minutes left, but I just wanted to bring this up because this is the next thing. You know, we kind of put the rules and regs on hold while we were going through and getting the FY 2021 applications sorted out and approved. And now that today we finally got that done. So we need to get our rules and regs, the revised ones approved. And just for the sake of the new members, The original rules and regs for the Guam Cancer Trust Fund, they were written and approved back in, I think, 2011, 2012. And they hadn't been revised or updated in many, many years. And so last year we started working on it. And during the pandemic, we actually were meeting sometimes we were meeting once a week for an hour, just going through line by line. And reviewing and making changes. We finished that in May of 2020. We sent it to the UOG Legal Counsel. He went through it and made revisions, legalized it, legalese. And then we had to go back as a council member for it. We spent, I think, another month meeting for simplifying some of his legalese because it was kind of way out there. But then after that, we approved it. And then we had a public hearing on September 15th. We invited the public to provide comments. We only got written testimony from three parties, from Ellie from Guam Cancer Care, Renata Bordalio from the Guam Cancer Registry. And then Senator Luis Munoz's office submitted testimony after the fact. And so what we need to do now is our next step is we need to go back and take a look at the written testimony and some of the concerns that were brought up and consider incorporating those suggestions from the testimony into the rules and regs, or at the very least, we need to address them and explain why or why not, why we're not going to make the changes that were suggested. And so that could take a little while. And then once that's done, then we need to submit it to the legislature. And I think we have to go through another public hearing process.
I don't know. Yes, we do.
Yeah. So now it's Senator Tina Barnes, who's the chair on the Committee of Rules. So Committee on Rules, not of Rules, sorry. Committee on Rules.
So Dr. Rachel, can I make a recommendation that we send this revised rules and regulations to the two new members, give them at least until our next meeting, a month from now, to be able to take a look at it. Also send them the comments from the testimonies.
Yeah, you know,
the public hearing.
I will, what we'll do, I'll have Remlin send it to everybody just to refresh our memories of all of that. And then that will be the main focus next for the next meeting.
Yeah, so we can entertain that, because as you remember in the past, we've had to have separate meetings just for the rules and regs.
Yeah.
But at least they have time to take a look at it and take a look at the comments. Remlin, please send them the old version so they can see the difference, the major difference between the old version and the new version.
Yes, I can email both.
Okay. Yeah, You're welcome. There really was only just a few things that
very minor stuff.
Yeah, raised by both Ellie and Senator Munia. And you know, I think that I don't think it will take too long. We just have to just address those things. So, but yeah, we won't tackle it today. We'll save it for next time. And we'll get that out so that people can review and work on that. Okay.
Do you remember if the rules and regs included the bylaws?
You know what? We were told that we didn't have to do bylaws. And so I took some bylaws and put it into the rules and regs. So like some of the sections of the bylaws had to do with, you know, meeting the quorum, those kind of issues. So we just put it in one document.
So quick question, whenever we change that, those parts of, I guess, the rules and regs, do we have to go back to the legislature?
Yeah, that's why we have to submit this. We have to submit our revised to the legislature one more time.
Because so should we have a separate bylaws then?
But her question is, if we're going to change or modify something within our meeting or our quorum or our council composition, do we still have to go through the legislature? And I know this requires the AAA process. So I get her point about separating the composition of the council, just the obligation of the council members, meeting attendance and things like that. I know it was incorporated there, but I see Dr. Vett's point. Just you don't want to have to keep going back and forth.
Okay, yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Maybe it's something we need to post to the Legislative Legal Council.
Okay, who is the Legislative Legal Council then?
I don't know, it was Juan Pat last year, but I mean last legislature, I don't know who it is this year.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we should ask them.
Yeah, reach out to Vice Speaker Tina Barnes because this falls under her committee.
Okay. Okay, Rem.
But I do know that we've kind of changed the composition because we still have a vacant seat from the Cancer Coalition.
Right. You
know, so we need to consider that.
Right. Okay. All right.
Thank you, Rem.
Yeah, thanks, Rem. She come. Okay. Any open discussion or information? Anything else that anybody wants to?
Welcome aboard, Peter and Dr. Ohadi.
Hi.
Very excited.
I actually have something that I want to raise. First of all, I want to say that just in the 30 minutes that I've been watching and looking at what you guys do, I'm really impressed. And the suggestion that I want to give is part of the reason that I'm impressed is that there's a good side of it, but there's a bad side of it. I consider myself to be somebody that's somewhat knowledgeable of what goes on in the community, but I honestly did not know you guys were doing these type of things. I mean, this is a considerable amount of money that helps people. And I think that it would be very helpful. I mean, at least in my experience with various organizations I've been involved in, we've always had some form of public relations plan that either in this case can help generate more revenue, put pressure on senators, just let the community in general know out there that such an organization exists and this is what it does. Just thinking off the top of my head, it would be something, it doesn't have to be for this meeting, but it would be something as simple as, like if you were going to have something that involved this meeting, because there's some great things that just happened. You could easily put together a press release that says who the members are, what the function of the organization is, and what were the actions that were taken today, like these different awards and the amounts. I just feel also that it's going to, once you're transparent and it gets out there, it's going to also lead to limit senators from constantly questioning you the way they do, because you're not really saying very much publicly.
Yeah, and you know, Peter, we're trying to like come off of we had such a bad rap 2 years ago because we got audited by the public auditor, and oh my gosh, it was such a trial, but things are kind of turning around. I really appreciate that comment, and I wanted to share this. Atsuta Foundation came out with this flyer, and it was really great. And it says right here, made possible by a grant from the Guam Cancer Trust Fund. And We just thought this was such a great thing that we're gonna send this to all of our partners and just say, hey, you know, can you do this? This is a great ad, and it really shows what's available. And I got the screenshot, and I sent it on all my WhatsApp chats and all my friends and family, and said, hey, you know, please take advantage of this funding if you know anybody that
needs. Our biggest issues was the Guam Cancer Trust Fund supposedly is to fund direct services to cancer patients. But the law specifically says it's to go to nonprofit organizations that provide direct services. Now, sadly, a lot of people in the community, although we have a fact sheet, although we have a website, although we've done some promotions, people go, literally would call Remelin and Dr. Rachel and ask, you know, I'm undergoing cancer treatment, I need financial help. And we have to explain to them that we cannot give directly to an individual. It's got to go to an organization. And then they go down to the senator and say, well, they're not helping cancer patients because they turned me away, without understanding. And literally, even some of the senators in the past 33rd, 34th, and 35th legislature did not even know that it was supposed to go to organizations and not directly to a cancer patient. So that was one of the reasons in 2019 they didn't want to fund us, is because they thought we weren't helping cancer patients, because they were getting inundated with calls from the community, even when we explained to them.
I think, Kath, that's even more justification for putting out, you know, notices.
Yes, a press release. And that would have to come out of the president's office, not from the Cancer Trust Fund, because the trust fund falls under the UOG president. So the press releases and news releases have to come out of his office.
I think that's a great idea. And I'll work with Remelin to, we'll do a press release, we'll send it to Jonas and just say, oh, because actually we just finalized the last two applicants, and the first three are just going to start their funding. So, you know, it'd be a great opportunity just to say, hey, you know, here's the organizations. We only got a million, but this
maybe
is another.
Ellie's on here, and maybe she can do something similar to Ajuda that says, you know, what we're doing is providing funding to, what is it, medication copayment, Ellie, for doctor copayment, maybe something like that. With your logo.
Wonderful information.
Yeah. So because of that hit we all took, because we are solely focused on direct services, of course, we don't have collaterals that go to chemotherapy or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But on our registration packet that a patient has to complete, it does state there that all of the funds that either pay their co-payments or provide the supplies that they're receiving are funded by the Guam Cancer Trust Fund, as well as our transport vehicle. I don't know if you've seen it, but it says
send it to us. Yeah, but okay. Your application, send it to us. That would be awesome, you know, because it's got the logo.
Also states it.
Yeah, it's got your logo and everything. So there you go, a photo of the band saying, you know, patient transport.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. We will be including for future for the education outreach side is all of our brochures and anything that goes out into the public will have that. We'll definitely have that on the on them, stating that these collaterals and these events or these functions. And
I believe EM Calvo does direct financial assistance. So if they can just make a little, you know, ad or something that says we give direct financial assistance. I do know that the American Cancer Society uses it for reimbursement for off island, as well as gas cards. And I believe the prosthesis, mastectomy bras and scarves and hats for breast cancer patients, something like that. But yes, Peter, that's an excellent, excellent idea.
Rachel, you know how with the NIH grant funding that we receive, they recommend to always put the NIH in funding number on any materials that are published with the funds or any work that results from the funds. You might consider like a template phrase paid for or supported by the Guam Cancer Trust Fund, whatever. And
actually, Dr. Paulino, I had an idea already because when I looked at the flyer from Jim Espeldon, I thought about actually providing all our awarded contracts their flyer and to say, you know, sponsored by Guam Cancer Trust Fund or funded by the Guam Cancer Trust Fund. So that was already on my notes to include for flyers for all the contracts that we're awarding.
Yay.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's my to-do list. It's already in my planner.
Well, yeah, now we have that graphic artist. So if she can, that would be great. And maybe she can work with the different agencies and just help come up with the flyer like this and help. That would be nice.
Can she draft a logo, a GCT?
Oh, she's actually working on our logo because I myself, before I started working, I did not know we had a Guam Cancer Trust Fund. And when I went to the UOG website, it was kind of plain. So I thought about now, you know, about making it public so that other people will know about the Guam Cancer Trust Fund and the different types of organization that people can go to get help. Because like what Kathy said earlier, when I started working for the Guam Cancer Trust Fund, we did receive calls and a lot of the patients are asking, why can't we help them? But I tell them, you know, you have to go through the organizations and I just feel bad, but they said they don't know who are the organizations. So that was already on my to-do list because I myself want to know and make sure that the public is aware of our program because, you know, we want to help the cancer patients and give all the money to them.
Well, yeah. if you it's like I'm going back to it. How you would word, for example, a press release. And I'm just looking right now of what was approved today as far as the dollar amounts. You're talking several hundred thousand dollars.
Yes.
And in one meeting. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can have a headline that's something like, you know, Cancer Council approves $400,000+ in direct cancer care, something of that sort, and then just have something you can just simply cut and paste of who we are, and you can have specifically in there. And even if you wanted to have somebody quoted as citing the law, that, you know, it's not, we don't give to individuals. We only, we can only by law give to nonprofits. But I mean, I just think that I have been on boards before, and this is a, what's just happened is a lot more than what has happened in other boards I've been on.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. That's thank really you. Appreciate it. Good advice. I think we will do that. We will do that.
Yes.
All right. We're past our time. I apologize. I try to keep this to an hour. Any other comments really quick before we adjourn?
I have a question. For the interest of our two new members, especially Dr. Ohadi, our meetings are usually at 3:00 in the afternoon. Is that convenient for your clinic hours, Dr. Ohadi?
If I know in advance, they could be okay, but usually, you know, I finish by 4:00.
Oh, okay.
If it's okay with other members, you know, I prefer, you know, 4:00 if it's possible. If not, then I can arrange and I can take a break, you know, 1 hour and start after 4:00. Yeah. Either way is okay. You know, as long as I know in advance. Unfortunately, today, you know, I completely forgot. This morning, I just remember, and I was late, you know, because I already have a scheduled patient. But either way, it's 4:00 or 3:00, you know, or 3:00, as long as, you know, I know in advance, I can schedule. If I know the date, you know, what day we're meeting, I can schedule the clinic to take a 1 hour break.
Kathy, I'm
okay with 4:00.
4:00, okay.
Yeah, as long as the others are okay. And my comment for that is, in the event like today we run over, it doesn't encroach on his clinic hours.
Yeah. Yvette, are you okay with 4:00?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's once a month, right? So hopefully we don't end up with the rules and breaks.
Yes, sir. It was every week.
Twice a week sometimes.
Sometimes twice a week, and it was more than an hour. But Pete?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right. So next time, let's go ahead and we'll meet at 4:00.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Awesome.
Thank you.
Great.
I just wanted to be sensitive to his clinic hours and his patients, you know. Because we actually do need you on board.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
So we can ask Ren maybe to send out like the dates.
Okay.
For, I guess, the rest of the semester or
the whole year.
The whole year. Just so that we can lock it in.
Okay, great.
Yep, that's fine.
Thank you, Ren.
I can do that.
I have nothing else.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to adjourn the meeting, and I really appreciate everybody coming. And thank you, Peter and Dr. Ohadi, for joining. Great to have you aboard as members, and we look forward to this.
I'm very excited.
Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you.
You too. God bless.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you. Have a good one. Thank you.
Take care. Bye, Ellie.
Thanks. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye, Ellie.
Bye-bye.